Hello everyone and welcome to the Banter Roundtable podcast. This is your host, Ben Cohen.
And I'm Justin Rosario.
The Banter Roundtable podcast is brought to you by the Banter Newsletter. We rely on our generous subscribers to keep going, so please support us by signing up for a Banter membership today. You can get a 50% discount when you join the community, and you'll get access to all our premium articles and locked archive. We will also be supporting independent, responsible media at a crucial time when our democracy is in peril. Your support is greatly appreciated.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 109 of the Banter Roundtable podcast. I'm here with Justin Rosario. Justin, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, so we've got a very, very big show for you today. It's quite a dramatic show. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about America's extremely dramatic pivot on Benjamin Netanyahu. This just happened. We're recording on Thursday. So we also talk about Robert Hur's failed attempt to smear President Biden over the classified document case. We talk Biden's impressive State of the Union address, the concerning takeover of the RNC by Donald Trump, who's fired over 60 top officials and replaced them with his stooges. We talk Trump's shocking praise of Hitler and his open endorsement of cutting Social Security and Medicare. We have our Grifter of the Week featuring our good friend of the podcast, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and his bonkers potential running mates. And then our ray of sunshine on the recent development that could prevent Republicans from abusing the legal system. Then we're going to move into the emergency meeting podcast, where we are going to be discussing who owns Donald Trump. We do a little dive into where he got his money to pay his legal costs. Is he a compromised presidential candidate? You can hear that again on the emergency meeting podcast. That's a podcast for members. If you don't have yourself a Banter membership, please get one. You can get access to the emergency meeting podcast and all of our premium articles. It is hugely, hugely, hugely helpful. It supports what we do. It's our only source of income, are our members' subscriptions. You get a ton of benefits and you get to support the Banter, us, your favorite hosts, your favorite writers. So look, let's get going. This broke today. Chuck Schumer addressed the Senate, and this was quite an extraordinary development in the whole Israel-Gaza crisis. So I'm going to play the audio. So I want you to listen to this.
The fourth major obstacle to peace is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past. 5 months into this conflict, it is clear that Israelis need to take stock of the situation and ask, must we change course? At this critical juncture, I believe a new election is the only way to allow for a healthy and open decision-making process about the future of Israel.
Okay, that is significant. And this will have been coordinated with Biden, for sure.
So oh, yeah, this would have been
done. Yeah, so Biden's not saying this, but the fact that the Senate Majority Leader is saying this is a big, 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 big deal. This essentially means they're cutting Netanyahu. They're not cutting him off, but they are letting him know that they don't support him anymore. This is like his free reign over Israel and this war in Gaza is basically, there are going to be more caveats. There are going to be more restrictions coming. And I think this is a way of basically applying maximum amount of pressure. There was also earlier this week, I believe, or no, last weekend rather, Benny Gantz came to the US and then to London, where he was given, you know, he met with Kamala Harris, he met with the Secretary of State. He was given high level meetings. I think he met with Chuck Schumer as well. Basically, as another, this Benny Gantz is Netanyahu's main political rival,
right,
in Israel. And the fact that he went without any diplomatic legitimacy. Netanyahu didn't authorize his visit. So, but he went anyway, and he met with all these high-ranking US officials. And that's very significant, again. So this is them basically trying to cut him off and move the change Israeli, you know, change domestic politics in Israel, which as they should, as they absolutely should, given the amount of money Israel gets from the US.
Yeah, and not for nothing. You know, we discussed this, I don't know, two, three, four weeks ago. One of the biggest obstacles, I mean, he said it, one of the biggest obstacles of peace is Netanyahu, because he has no incentive whatsoever to end the fighting. Once he's not in office anymore, they're going to go back to prosecuting him for corruption, and he's going to go to jail. So why would he ever want to stop fighting?
Yeah.
He'll, you know, the fighting stops. He gets voted out of office. He goes to jail. What's his incentive to stop the fighting? Even if he managed to destroy all of Hamas, he'll just start a war with some other Muslim dominant country, which is all of them around him. He'll just pick another fight with another country just to keep the fighting going, because what's he got to lose at that point? You know, this is Trump level stuff. This is keep me going.
Yeah, this is the history of Netanyahu is essentially one of antagonizing Palestinians, continuing to encroach on their land, and ensuring that no peace can ever happen. And that's his entire MO has been to do this. It's again, like, I'm not going to exonerate the Palestinians from any of this too. They've had their own disastrous leadership, particularly with Hamas as well. And I don't equate Benjamin Netanyahu with Hamas, but he's not helpful. He's very unhelpful in the way that Hamas is a genocidal death cult. Netanyahu is a sort of a kind of neo, I would call him a kind of neo-fascist, quasi-fascist strongman, almost. He's not quite a dictator, but he's not that far off.
But he certainly would like to be one if it keeps him out of jail.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the Israelis are very pissed off with him. He's not popular. And there will be mass protests before the whole October 7th. There were huge protests in Israel because Netanyahu kept trying to change the law.
Their Supreme Court recently struck that down and said, yeah, no, you don't get to do that. And one was wondering, it was a question of what would he do next, because he has to do that to keep himself out of jail.
Right.
So, what would be next?
Yeah, and he is, as Schumer says, he's an obstacle to peace. There's no way that you can get peace with Netanyahu there. It's impossible. His coalition government is filled with the most insane nut jobs you could possibly imagine, who again have no interest in peace as well.
Right.
So, this is what the US can do, is they can apply this, you know, very severe pressure on Netanyahu. And at some point, Netanyahu's he's got 9 lives, that guy. But at some point, you know,
you run out.
Their lives run out.
Yeah, this is not the same as, you know, President Biden pushing a button and ordering Israel to stop the fighting, because he can't do that. As much as the ceasefire crowd thinks that he can, he cannot.
No,
but they can apply pressure to make Netanyahu, you know, go away.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, and there are, you know, this is, I wrote about this on Monday in the fucking Mondays column, that this is a very delicate thing that the Biden administration has to manage, dealing with Israel and dealing with Israel's internal politics. It's not, you can't just cut off aid and tell them to stop, right? It doesn't work like that. The fact is, it's a very precarious position that the Biden administration is in, where they would probably no doubt like to cut the aid off, but it is politically untenable to do that. You cannot do that, right? What happens if you do that is you get Trump, right? Yep. You get, this will be a huge talking point for the Republicans, that the Democrats are sissies and they love Muslim countries and all that kind of stuff. It's politically impossible to do that. So they can apply soft power. This is the hardest power that I've seen them exert, if that makes sense.
I get it.
Yeah, with Chuck Schumer explicitly calling for Israeli prime minister to go, I haven't seen that, not in my lifetime have I seen that.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we will see what happens. But, you know, we'll be paying attention to this because it's not going well in Gaza, is it? I mean, it's a bloodbath there. And I don't really understand what now is the purpose. Like, how does this end? You can't just kill everyone.
Well, the fact that we're putting up an offshore pier so we can deliver aid directly offshore, because we have to bypass Israel because they kept getting in the freaking way, right, which is really disturbing. It's like, come on, man, we're delivering aid. Get out of the way. But they didn't want us to do it. So we're just going to do it ourselves.
Right. And again, it's another snub to Netanyahu to let him know, like, hey, if we want to do this, we're going to do it.
And not for nothing. You know, let's be honest. It's not really up to him. It's not up to Israel to say who we get to deliver aid to. They don't own the Gaza Strip.
No. And they don't dictate U.S. foreign policy either. So,
if anyone else wanted to deliver aid, they really don't have a right to stop them from delivering aid to 2 million people who are on the brink of starvation.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I think that's a very positive development and we'll see what happens. All right. Let's talk Robert Herr, his attempt to smear Biden over the classified document case.
Ooh, that didn't go well for him.
No. So it turns out basically the guy is completely full of shit.
Yeah.
they released the transcript of the interview that he conducted with Biden, and it basically it wasn't how Herr portrayed it, right?
Like, not you even actually slightly.
Right. It was a cherry pick, which is, you know, I went out on a limb when this happened and I was like, this is a political hit job, right? This is clearly a hit job. And I thought, you know, I don't have any evidence of this, but it just seems so strange the way he characterized a lot of this stuff and the unnecessary jibes at his age, right?
Yeah, he definitely went way over the top. It's like, you know what it was? It felt like a Mueller report in reverse.
Yeah.
Literally the same thing, but in reverse, where Bill Barr downplayed the results of the Mueller report.
Yeah.
Herr just overhyped the results and just lied about it, but they both just lied.
So there was one thing where Bear talked about. He remarked about how short Biden's memory was.
Uh-huh. More than once.
Calling it photographic.
Yeah, kind of weird how he said that and then somehow turned around like, oh, yeah, no, he couldn't remember anything. Oh, it's terrible. Oh,
awful. Yeah. I mean, it definitely validates. I feel like over time, right, I feel like both you and I don't mean to brag, but we kind of develop a reasonably good instinct on this stuff.
It's like freaking Spidey sense.
Yeah, you're just like, this smells like bullshit. And for the most part, you know, I think this is why banter readers and banter listeners, this is why they come to us, right? For the Spidey sense. But I smelt a rat when this happened. I'm like, this doesn't pass the sniff test at all.
And the fact that the press went absolutely apeshit over it was just like, okay, that there's something wrong here.
Yeah. So, you know, my guess is he's going straight into the Trump administration. If Trump gets in power.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't commit to not doing that.
Oh, is that right? I didn't even know that. Yeah, there you go.
It was either Ted Lieu or Eric Swalwell. One of them asked him, it was Eric Swalwell. He just straight up asked him, it's just like, I want you to commit right now, just, you know, so we all know that you're here as a nonpartisan, that you will not accept a position in the Trump administration if he were to win. And he wouldn't do it.
Yeah, there we go.
It was like, oh, come on, man. You know, and he quit the Department of Justice the day before, so he wasn't bound by any of the ethic rules. It's right. Like, okay, be a little less shady. And the lawyer that he hired to represent him, because, you know, you always have to have a lawyer represent you when you're in front of Congress, is a Trump guy.
Right.
It was like, why don't you just wear a MAGA hat? Just put on the MAGA hat and show up. And just stop pretending.
Stop pretending. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that's happened. I'm glad he's been exposed as a bullshit artist. I mean, that's deep. That's extremely unprofessional.
Oh, yeah. Well, he got demolished. He got absolutely destroyed. And Republicans destroyed him, too, because he was useless to them. Because he
ruined their talking points.
Yeah, he ruined their talking points. So he was useless to them. And they just, both sides, just mauled him.
Right.
One side because he wouldn't lie. And the other side, he wouldn't lie more. And the other side because he was lying through his teeth. And they had the freaking transcript to prove it. So it was pretty funny.
Yep.
Haha.
Speaking of Biden not being not having Alzheimer's, State of the Union address. We recorded the podcast, I think, the day before, right? Last week.
Oh, wasn't it Thursday? Did he give it on Thursday or was it Friday?
I believe maybe it was Thursday. I think it was Thursday.
And we recorded Thursday afternoon. So
yeah, so we didn't catch it, but it was great. It was good. It did a good it was a good speech. Very good speech, and it was kind of widely perceived as being a very good speech.
Oh yeah, well no, you know how you know it was widely perceived as being a good speech because it really pissed off the right, and it really pissed off a whole lot of freaking reporters who were kind of expecting him to be up there and kind of tired and the whole Sleepy Joe thing, and when he went out there and he was all fire and brimstone, they were just like, oh my God, he's so loud. Oh, why is he yelling? Why is he so angry? Yeah, they did that. And that wasn't just the right. There were some regular reporters who were just like, oh, he's so over the top. And it's like, you know what, man? just sit down and be quiet. Because you wanted him to go up there and stumble and fumble and be slow and tired. And he's not, and you were all prepared to write that article, and now you're mad that you don't get to write that article. Mm. I mean, I got in our notes from Olivia Nuzzi, and she's from the New Yorker, and she actually wrote, and she, now mind you, she's supposed to be a straight journalist, right? She's not like a Fox News person. She's not a Newsmax, right? She's supposed to be a straight journalist, and she actually tweeted out, I guess there's no Adderall shortage at the White House. Ha ha.
That's a shame. I like it. I like Olivia Nuzzi for the most part. I think she's a good journalist, but what the fuck?
Yeah, she would never make this joke about Trump, even though everyone knows Trump is an Adderall addict. He's been snorting it for years. There's literal video of him, chunks of it flying out of his nose.
Yeah, right.
You've seen that, right?
Yeah.
There's more than one video of the freaking chunks of something coming, and it's not snot, it's not boogers, it's something solid coming out of his nose. The man has a problem for Adderall because he needs it to stay focused. But she would never in a million years make that joke about Trump. But she certainly made it about Biden, ha ha ha, because he's Sleepy Joe and yada yada yada. So it's just like, man, just no.
But yeah,
they did it. There were a whole bunch of reporters were pissed off at him about this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've always maintained this, that the best attribute Biden has going into this election is the fact that people underestimate him. And, the more they do it, everybody had to acknowledge, like Andrew Sullivan, who very begrudgingly acknowledged, okay, yeah, that was a good speech. He's revived himself, he's revived his political fortunes. But I just feel like we kind of go through this over and over and over again. Right, this was all the story in 2020. He's old man, he's doddering, he's, But Trump's going to smash him. It's going to be like the debate is going to be a massacre. And it wasn't.
Nope.
It wasn't. So, but I mean, I just can't understand it. I genuinely don't understand why this seems to happen. Is it just the press has to run with this narrative? They have to turn it into a horse race to such an extent that it's almost like pre-written.
Well, yeah. I mean, what else do they have? They literally don't have. What are they going to do? They can't complain about the economy anymore, right? The economy is doing so well that you cannot print an article about the economy doing poorly because they'll just be burned alive.
Yeah,
by the rest of the internet. It's like, what are you talking about? Republicans can do that. Because all they do is lie anyway, and their own people don't fact check them. So you on Fox News is that the economy is doing terrible. They'll just let it slide.
It's kind of surreal that you have these Republicans saying, like, you know, think about where we were. What was it? Elise Stefanik was like, think about where we were 4 years ago. We talked about that last week.
Yeah. It's like 4 years ago. 4 years ago was pretty goddamn bad.
It's in the midst of a terrifying pandemic. And yeah, I mean, madness. But yeah, good. I mean, the State of the Union was excellent, I think. And that's, I don't know if it's been reflected in the polls yet, but I'm not paying attention to the polls really.
Honestly, it probably won't. State of the Unions tend not to move the polls. I was listening to, I think it was Pod Save America, and they said very rarely do State of the Unions move the polls, but it's going to put the whole he's too old narrative, it's going to put it to sleep for now.
Right.
Like, remember, they were doing this last year. They ran with it for like a month and a half. And then they had to let it go to sleep for a bit because everyone started talking about Trump and Trump's cognitive thing, right? So they're like, oh, no, we can't talk about that. And they put it to sleep and then they let it go. And then it popped up again in February, right? So now they're going to let it go to sleep again for a while. And my prediction is it's going to pop up again in the middle of July and it's going to run until Biden is officially made the candidate at the convention, because they're going to want to detract from that, right? And what better way to do it than have a whole new round of Biden's too old. And that'll give them time to run it, let it go back to sleep, and then pop it up again in October. I swear to God, they're going to do this two more times before the election.
You heard it here first, people. You heard it here first.
I want to be so badly wrong about this. I'm not going to be. I know
it. Yeah. All right. Well, look, let's move on. The RNC. This is Donald Trump's takeover. The RNC is it's pretty complete now.
Yeah, right? It is now fully Trump land.
Yeah, we're deep in MAGA cultville.
It's pretty insane.
Yeah. So he's over 60 top ranking officials have been fired. They'll be replaced with loyalists or just not replaced. That's the usual Trump tactic, is just not hire people. It's what he did with the federal government when he came in, fired loads of people, or loads of people left, and he just didn't bother filling the vacancies. So you had a sort of a federal government running at sort of 50% capacity for 4 years, which is insane. It's insane the country survived. I mean, it barely did.
Well, things were not running well under Trump. Yeah. Which was the point.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. So, okay. I mean, what does this mean? Like, all the loyalists are, I mean, they're all grifters and idiots, really. This is the thing about Trump. The fact that Trump surrounds himself with such useless people.
I mean, part of it is that they are going to loot the RNC. Mm. They're going to rob it blind.
Right.
Like, there's going to be so much fraud going on at the RNC. And that's part of the reason that they're cutting staff, because the less people you have, the easier it is to commit crime and the less potential there is for snitches.
Mm.
You know, if you have half the people that you normally have, well, that's half the people that could snitch on you. And if you replace them with loyalists who are willing to commit crimes on your behalf, which Trump has a habit. He just has this ability to find people who are willing to go to jail for him, which I can never understand that for the life of me. But he's just going to find people who are going to be willing to break the law for him. And they're going to rob this place blind. If I were not Senate, the Senate has its own fundraising thing. But if I were House Republicans, I would be sweating bullets right now. Because they need that money from the RNC, and they're not going to get it.
Right. So this is going to be entertaining. My guess is this is all going to be highly entertaining to watch this unfold over the next few months. It's going to be do they ever learn? Does the RNC, did the party ever learn?
Well, they're going to learn this time.
Well, really? You know, like, what happens when he loses again?
I mean, what, when he loses, how long will he be able to stay in control of the party if he's not going to be running again?
Who else have they got? He'll probably run again. He'll claim it was, this is my guess. If he stays out of jail, he'll just run again. He'll keep running until, you know.
God, I hope so. My God, that would be amazing if he ran again in 2028, because he would be practically drooling on stage, and that would be delightful.
I mean, look, on a sort of more cautious note, like, obviously we don't know that Biden's going to win in November. And if this does happen, if Trump does win, this is kind of a preview, right? This is a preview of what he does to the U.S. government.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, he's gonna fire anyone who's not 100% loyal and willing to break the law. And the FBI, the military, they're already making it very clear that these groups, these agencies, whatever you want to call them, they should be under the direct control of the president. Like, no independence whatsoever, and willing to do whatever he wants, which is insane. Like, they say this out loud. Not that they should do it for, I mean, they've been complaining that Biden's doing that. He's not, but they've been saying he's been doing it, and how it's terrible, how it's illegal, it's unconstitutional. And, oh, by the way, that's exactly what we want to do when we're in charge, which, it's like, so how is it unconstitutional, illegal? If it's what you want to do, why is it okay? that's a thing.
Right.
But.
Well, look, let's move on. Speaking of Trump, so Hitler, Trump and Hitler. Please tell me this story is fake, Justin. Please tell me this story is fake.
I mean, we kind of knew about this already, right? Like, John Kelly had kind of tap danced around this back in the day, but being as, he's still a Republican, he didn't come out and really tell the public what had happened. Like, the thing where Trump wanted his generals to be as loyal to him as they were to Hitler. Like, we knew about that. And that was disturbing. But now he's like, it's like, oh, by the way, Trump also said this, and this is a quote, well, but Hitler did some good things. And he said, Hitler rebuilt the economy. And it's like, what? I mean, what? Yeah, Hitler liked dogs too. That doesn't mean he was a good person. But it's like, why did John Kelly wait 4 years?
Would have been helpful. Would have been flipping helpful to say this at the time and leave.
Yeah, it's like, why did you wait? What were you waiting for? Because so you can put it in your book? Fuck you. You're not helping. You're not a patriot. You're not doing this for the country. You're doing it to help yourself, which is, the worst way to do this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the all those stories about the Apprentice tapes. There's apparently some Apprentice tapes of Trump using the N-word over and over and over again.
Yeah, which I don't doubt in the slightest.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that whatsoever. And I think that at some point they'll probably come out, I would imagine. But it's like, everybody knows the guy's a racist. We all know he's a racist, right? I mean, he was elected on racism, right? His whole thing was the Obama birthing. That's how he rose to popularity, was the whole birther stuff, which is a racist conspiracy theory about Barack Obama.
Exactly.
So, but very unsurprising.
No, not even a little surprising, but it's... it's worrisome because
he could be in power again.
Well, it's not that. It's also the press kind of just shrugged their shoulders and just moved on. Like,
just Trump being Trump, you know?
Yeah, it's just Trump being Trump. It's like, but this is the guy that you're planning on putting in power, man. It's like you can't just shrug that off, because if you put a Nazi at the top of the government and he surrounds himself with more Nazis, that's a problem for the rest of us who aren't Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a small one.
At the same time, he's also talking about cutting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, because of course he is.
Which is it's political suicide to do that. I mean, he's not going to do it.
The fact that he's talking about it is great for us. It's like, okay, thanks for being insane and slitting your own throat.
Right. This is a fast track way to destroy your chances with over 65-year-olds, which are a key constituency for you, a key voting demographic for you. So you threaten to take away some of their benefits. Not a great idea. At all.
Yeah, I don't get it. Republicans keep talking about this openly. Like, I mean, openly. They it's just like a thing that's gaining steam with them again. And every time they do this, it comes back and bites them in the ass. And it's like, why? I know you want to do it because it's such a core part of your ideology to take these things away from people because you hate everyone who isn't rich. But you know that when you do it, you pay a steep political price and you don't get to do it. So why do you keep talking about it? Like, normally they would just lie about it, get elected, and then do it anyway, right? Because that's their usual, that's the way they operate.
But why talk about it? Yeah, it's like the whole abortion thing as well. You know what I mean?
It's like, stop talking about it.
And now they've done it. And then they now want to keep talking about it again.
It's like, okay, thanks for helping us, but you know, thanks for making it super clear what the stakes are.
Right. Of course. I mean, I think that's the point. Exactly. The more they keep talking about it, the more it spells out to the voting population. Okay, this is what's going to happen. They're telling you what they're going to do. Now the press just needs to remind. This is why I don't get about the way the media covers this is that they gloss over this stuff all the time, or they turn it into a kind of a popularity contest, as opposed to look at what these guys are saying they're going to do. Don't you think the public should know about this?
Well, and that's one of the reasons they don't cover issues. They try not to talk about issues, because if they talk about issues, they have to talk about what Republicans really want to do in the words that Republicans use. And if you do that, the public's going to say, oh, I can't vote for these people. They're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Screw that. And then you don't catch your horse race anymore.
Right. So it's optics more over policy all the time.
Yep. Keep it thin. Keep it superficial. And you don't have to basically they wouldn't destroy the Republican Party because, you know, that's a lot of money they would be losing.
Of course. Well, look, let's move on. We've got our grifter of the week, RFK Jr. This made me laugh. This is really nuts. So who's on his shortlist for VP? We've got Jesse Ventura.
We've got Tulsi nut.
Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard.
Russian asset.
allegedly. Rand Paul.
Fake libertarian and Russian asset.
Yeah, allegedly. Andrew Yang.
Grifter.
Mike Rowe,
this fake populist for white boys.
Yeah, is that the guy on TV?
Yeah, that's the dirty jobs guy.
Okay, and now this one is insane. Tony Robbins,
toxic misogynist.
I mean, just a fraud. The guy, Tony Robbins, is such a bullshitter. Is that real? Is he really?
He talked Tony to Robbins? Him.
Oh my god, Trisha Lindsay.
I don't know who that is. I didn't get a chance to look her up still. She's a civil rights attorney, I believe, but I don't know anything about her other than she's a civil rights attorney. Like, that is it.
And then we've got Aaron Rodgers. This is amazing. This guy's an absolute fruitcake.
Hardcore anti-vaxxer. And it turns out...
But RFK is not an anti-vaxxer. Do you remember that? You remember you have to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It also turns out, and that story just broke. It was either today or yesterday that Aaron Rodgers, is a Sandy Hook truther.
Oh my god.
Like a real serious one. This was 11 god. Years ago. He was spewing all of the Alex Jones stuff loudly to anyone who would listen.
Wow. Wow,
and it's like, oh wow. So he's now I wonder now that that part, not I, the whole, the only reason that RFK Jr. was even talking to him and most likely considering him is because he's an anti-vaxxer.
Right.
I wonder what the Sandy Hook truther part, how that will play into it now. Will he still be considering him with the Sandy Hook truther stuff? That I'm super curious, because if he still, if RFK Jr., if Kennedy still says, yeah, no, I'm fine with him, then this is, I honestly don't know what he's doing anymore. His whole campaign, his whole thing is designed to pull votes away from Biden. And none of these people are going to pull votes away from Biden.
Right.
Like Jesse Ventura, maybe sort of, right? Because he's not really a right winger, right? He's more of an independent libertarian type. He's not known from MAGA.
But I mean, none of these people have any credibility whatsoever.
Well, and that's the thing. None of them do.
Yeah, but it's what's his strategy here? What's his strategy?
It's all stunt casting.
But for what? I don't get it. What is he trying to be serious, or is he? What is he trying to do? I mean, I think the guy genuinely wants to be president. I think he thinks he can be president.
Well, all of these, except for all of them, Jesse Ventura, Tulsi Gabbard, Rand Paul, Andrew Yang, Mike Rowe, and Tony Robbins, and Aaron Rodgers, all of them appeal to the exact same demographic: angry white guys. All of them. The only one that doesn't specifically is Trisha Lindsay. But honestly, I don't know who she is. So,
well, I don't know about Tony Robbins or Andrew Yang. They're more sort of, well, Andrew Yang's like a tech bro, and Tony Robbins is like a self-help guy.
Right, so, but he's got this whole toxic misogyny thing going on there. He definitely appeals to the angry white guy. Not, I don't mean angry white guy misogynist. Sorry, angry white guy MAGA land necessarily. I'm talking about like the alt-left angry white guy.
Yeah, okay, because Tony Robbins is not a Trump. He's definitely not a Trump.
Right. You know? No, that's I'm not saying Trump people. I'm talking about, because remember, Rand Paul's a libertarian. Quote unquote, you know, and Andrew Yang and Tulsi Gabbard, they all appeal to that alt left. You know, it's like, I'm not a Republican, but I hate Democrats. They appeal to that group, which is supposed to be the left. And if you could just get those people to not vote for Democrats, like, but they're never going to vote for Democrats. Mm. You know, this is the Glenn Greenwald, Matt Taibbi crowd. Those people are not voting for Democrats. If Trump dropped dead tomorrow and only Joe Biden was running, they would still find someone else to vote for, because they will never, ever. If Hitler's ghost rose up and was running against Joe Biden, they still wouldn't vote for Joe Biden, because they hate Democrats more than anything else in the universe.
Yep.
So all of these people, with the exception of maybe Trisha Lindsay, because I still don't know who she is, all of them appeal to that alt-left, angry, disgruntled white guy crowd. Not necessarily MAGAs, but the ones who's like, I'm not a racist. I don't know what you're talking about. But the angry white guy, they're, all of them appeal to that crowd. So,
well, I mean, good luck.
I mean, this is like the Matt Taibbi, Glenn Greenwald ticket.
Right.
It's weird.
It's very weird. Well, look, let's head on to our sunshine of the week. This is quite good, actually. I mean, this is good. This is why we have it in our sunshine of the week story. It's a development that could prevent Republicans from abusing the legal system. How does this work? Okay, Justin, you want to take the lead on this?
Yeah, this one's a little wonky. So, all right. Okay, here's the thing. Republicans have been abusing the judicial system, surprise, but what they do is they judge shop, okay? And what they do with that is they pick the judge they want, and the judge, because Republicans put in a whole bunch of really, really far right-wing extreme judges, and then those judges will just do crazy shit. And depending on how long the Supreme Court takes to smack it down, it could take months or a lot of months. And then we're stuck with that. So this has really been a thing in Texas more than anywhere else. It's just been bizarre. Okay. So the Federal Conference of Courts or whatever the hell it's called, they have changed the rules. So you can no longer judge shop. And it's there's more randomness to it now. So
I mean, that's big.
That's huge. That makes life way more difficult. Like, for example, back in 2021, there was a Trump judge named Matthew Kaczmarek. I can't pronounce his name. But he's really hardcore right wing. And he just seized control of the foreign policy with regards to Mexico because he said the Biden administration couldn't do what they were doing, which was they had they shut down Trump's Remain in Mexico policy. And this guy said, you can't do that. And he just took control of America's foreign policy when it came with regards to Mexico. And it took the Supreme Court months and months to shut that down. And in the meantime, this one judge just got to dictate foreign policy for the United States, which is insane. But that's what the stuff they've been doing over and over and over and over. But he's like been one, this guy's been one of the most insane. And the way they've been getting away with this is in Texas, in Amarillo, Texas, you file a court case against the federal government there, there's only one judge, and that was this guy. So that all the cases would assign to him, and then he would get to do anything he wanted. And now they don't get to do that anymore.
Right.
Which is phenomenal.
That's awesome. That's very good. Oh, so listen, it's not all doom and gloom on the Bouncing Round Table podcast.
Sorry, that was a little wonky, but it's super important.
Yeah, very important. All right. Well, look, we're going to head into the emergency meeting podcast where we're going to be talking about where does Donald Trump get his money from? Is he a compromise candidate? The answer is, you have to wait to find out. Come join us in the emergency meeting podcast. It's going to be good. This is a shorter, more sweary podcast, more controversial topics for our Banter members. Come and join us there. Get yourself a Banter membership. You can get 50% off. You can listen to all of the emergency meeting podcasts. It's good fun, and it is your kind of badge of honor, right? That you're a Banter member and you get access to the real sweary stuff. So, for everybody else, we'll see you next week, and thanks so much.
Adios.